The Christian is the dutiful, bound servant of all under the law, but under the gospel, he is Lord of all and under nobody's control or thumb.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And frankly, being Lord of all in the gospel and yet under love, servant of all, is the best way to live.
You can meet and hear Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
You don't see the Church of Satan doing a mockery of mosque worship. You don't see Satanism doing a mockery of a Buddhist meditation.
You go into the average big box evangelical church, you're going to get three or four verses from different translations ripped out of context that are strip mined in order to help make your life better.
He reigns from a font, he reigns from a pulpit, he reigns from a table. His crucified and risen presence, bodily, fleshly, continues to reign in the world.
Homeschool, family, love, issues, etc. We have issues.
We come to the conclusion of a series we've been doing here with Dr. Robert Bennett, one that sounds perhaps a bit bizarre to the uninitiated. Demon possession and spiritual warfare are considered to be kind of things of the paranormal, maybe things that should be relegated to the distant past, to the ancient days when, yes, maybe some people struggled against demonic forces, but today we figured that all of this has its natural explanation, its medical or psychological or emotional explanation. Well, that hasn't proven true, especially in the 21st century, where the devil seems to be as alive and as kicking as ever, although he does seem to employ different methods depending on the cultural context and the indigenous beliefs of the people. So we've been talking about demon possession and spiritual warfare. We're prepared to conclude our series with Dr. Robert Bennett with your questions and your comments on that subject, general questions or questions from previous episodes where we've been walking in this series through the world of demon possession and spiritual warfare. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of June. For the next 2 hours, you can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Or if you have a question or a comment for the first hour of the program as we conclude our series on demon possession, spiritual warfare, go to our Facebook fan page as well, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. And here in the first hour, we are going to be giving away three copies of the book by Dr. Robert Bennett, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Danny Faulkner joins us to review episode 12 of the TV series Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute joins us after that to discuss two issues today. Same-sex marriage is official in the state of Illinois. I'm sitting in the state of Illinois. I live there, too. And the marriage licenses are being printed and filled out and issued as we speak, not too far away. And we're also going to talk about comments made Monday by Pope Francis on marriage and children. He says, look, if you're planning on being a childless couple by choice and populating your family with your dogs and your cats, he says you have a future of loneliness and perhaps even bitterness ahead of you. We'll find out what that means. And then we'll do a little sermon review in the last 20 minutes of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. A sermon preached Sunday by Pastor Peter Bender, a regular guest of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, on John 17, the first 11 verses, the beginning of Jesus' so-called high priestly prayer. Dr. Robert Bennett joins us for the conclusion of our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare. He's administrative pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Reese, Michigan. He spent 7 years researching demon possession and spiritual warfare in the Malagasy culture, and he's author of the book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. Dr. Bennett, welcome back.
It's wonderful to be back, Todd.
One of the things that you have emphasized again and again in the course of our conversations is the essential and biblical approach that you found among the Malagasy Lutherans to the issue of demon possession and spiritual warfare. How would you summarize it?
They understand the problem. They haven't been affected to the degree that we have with Enlightenment thinking, with rationalism. And so when they see things going on around them, they recognize that these are the same things that they see in their Bible, the same things that the church has been dealing with. So they're outside of that shroud that most of us in the Western world are living in. And the way they attack the problem is the same way they would find it in Scripture. They don't come up with various rituals or magical practices, but they simply address the problem when it is found in the name of Jesus to depart.
A question, this one from Jeff, says, I'm in the middle of the second interview, amazing so far, really, really good, but he asks a question about conversions from the animist religion to Pentecostalism there in the Malagasy culture. He says, can you talk a bit about that, and does it happen a lot because of the similarities between the animism and some of the beliefs of Pentecostalism?
Yeah, it's really a problem we see more in the African independent churches, which actually the situation in Madagascar predates that. But if you look at it from the outside, it looks very similar, whereas Pentecostalism in Madagascar is really a small minority of the Christians there. And most of the traditional Christians actually view them as a sect to avoid, and because they do fall in line many times in those animistic societies with the spiritualism, the animism that was there before.
So it may be something that has its lure from animism to Pentecostalism elsewhere in other African cultures, but in Madagascar not so much.
Yeah, not so much. It's not that it doesn't exist. Wherever we see the rise of Pentecostalism, of course, they're very good at converting those that are coming out of those animistic faiths into Pentecostalism, which I would find remnants of animism in existing anyways. So it does happen, but it's not a huge issue in Madagascar, not to say that it won't be as Pentecostalism continues to grow there, because we know it's growing quite strongly in the continent of Africa, and a lot of the churches you see in the continent of Africa are Pentecostal in nature, but still holding on to forms of their animism. It's interesting when the Lutheran Church in Madagascar, when they started what they would call the revival movement, and that doesn't really fit right with the way we understand it, but they were very clear, no, we retain the faith, the doctrine, we stay within the church, where in the African independent movement, there's an independence there, moving outside of historic Christianity into forming some type of a new, they would say, form of Christianity.
Now, is one of the similarities, just to highlight something here, and I recall discussing this with you a little bit earlier, the appeal of sometimes of Pentecostalism is that in animism, the attraction has to do with, if you can properly appease your ancestral spirits, they will give you prosperity, or at least get out of your way so that you can pursue happiness and prosperity. Is that part of the appeal of Pentecostalism, its emphasis on material prosperity?
I'm sure that it is, and like I said, we see that throughout the world. But when we talk about Pentecostalism, there's this understanding of the spirit being active outside of the word. And maybe what sets the Malagasy Lutheran apart from what we see in the continent of Africa is they still retain this understanding, this Lutheran understanding of the spirit attached to the word. So you don't see the same outburst and things that you would see maybe within the Pentecostal church.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, Christian has this question. Hearing about his accounts, that is your accounts, Dr. Bennett, of men being lured into water by mermaids shed a whole new light on Greek mythology and the sirens. Of course, the story there from the Iliad or the Odyssey, if I'm not mistaken, where
right,
one of the heroes and his crew are lured to the rocks by sirens. He said, could there be a connection between those Greek sirens and the demonic? And thanks for the great series.
Yeah, you know, it's only things we could guess at, of course. We can't answer these type of questions, absolutely. But this understanding of the mermaid spirit is not something that's just found in Madagascar. It's found throughout the world, so not only in Greek mythology. And usually the mermaid is understood to be a spirit, not an actual creature that was created or living a creaturely existence, but a manifestation of a spirit. Now, when you move into the newer understanding of mermaids, then they become, you know, a beautiful woman who calls the men down into the water that they might destroy them. So there's a large body of mythology and also a lot of spiritualism attached to that figure. So it could be. We just don't know.
Kevin is in Riverview, Florida, and says, how have your experiences and research changed your pastoral ministry here in the U.S., which is much less willing or able to see or recognize spiritual forces at work? It seems like Satan can work just as much behind a science-centered worldview as behind a spirit-centered worldview. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think what it's done is it's changed the way I look at things and the way I preach about things. And I made a point in one of the other radio programs that we had that I don't go around speaking of these things. You rarely would hear it come up in the church. But when it does come up, I treat them as these are realities that the biblical authors are dealing with, and the church has continued to deal with these things. So maybe what the study has done for me, and I know what it's done for a lot of other pastors that have contacted me along the way, is they made them stop and think a little bit about how they're preaching the text and maybe look at different issues in people's lives and recognize that this could be a spiritual component here as well.
So you haven't come back and said, all right, I've devoted my parish ministry to the confines of spiritual warfare, but it has broadened your mind, so to speak, on how you think about these other matters.
Sure, because if not, it would become a distraction, distracting us from what we're called to do on a daily basis in preaching the word, ministrating the sacraments, caring for our people. And this is just one aspect of that total pastoral care.
Is our sense that we've kind of formed here in the course of these several conversations that at least American culture, if not more broadly Western culture, simply dismisses the possibility of these things happening, especially in kind of the polite suburban Christian Sunday morning culture?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's happening. And my hope from writing my book was simply to get us to start opening our eyes a little bit and recognizing that we've been preaching and performing pastoral care for a number of years without sometimes thinking about the spiritual aspects of this, as the people may be being harassed by demons in the midst of their struggles and mental illness. So my hope was to get us thinking again in that direction, and that simply came from my studies with the Lutherans of Madagascar, who got me thinking in that direction, because I hadn't thought that way most of my time before.
Are you really arguing that we should not dismiss what someone might call a more ancient worldview that really has prevailed in not only human history, but also in church history up until the 20th and 21st centuries?
Yeah, I think if we dismiss that worldview, we have to, in a sense, dismiss the scriptures. They can't mean the same thing as they're representing themselves to mean. And that puts us in some real trouble with the way we preach and teach and care for our people.
I don't want to have your thoughts here mischaracterized, but Kevin's question had to do with a science-centered worldview kind of versus the spirit-centered worldview. Are those necessarily incompatible ways of looking at the world, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so at all. I think we have to look at things with a scientific worldview to a certain respect. I mean, science is what we use to produce things. It's how we examine physical illness. It's how we generate power. Science is related to all of those things. So I'm in no way suggesting we dismiss a scientific worldview. But as a part of that, we also, as Christians, we need to retain the worldview that is presented to us in the scriptures and recognize that, you know, a purely scientific worldview would leave God out of the picture completely.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Bennett. He's administrative pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Reese, Michigan, and author of the book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. Here in the conclusion of our series with him, we are giving away three copies of this book, I Am Not Afraid, to the listeners with the best questions or comments. You can call us right now. This break is a good time to call us as well. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, June the 3rd, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Go to our Facebook fan page where we have left space for you to leave a question or a comment for Dr. Robert Bennett on demon possession and spiritual warfare. Please include your city and state. We'd like to know where you're listening as well. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Bennett, another question occurs, and this one comes from Andrew in Iowa. Andrew says, in Luther's day, there was a heightened understanding of the spiritual world, especially the demonic. What do you think the biggest factor that is in today's context has eliminated this awareness for the majority of the population? Is it perhaps the faith people place in the ability of science to explain everything?
Well, I think the caller or whoever wrote the email has kind of answered their own question. I think that's the case. We've left the understanding of a spiritual world, and we've tried to describe everything in terms of science. And like I said, it's not bad to retain that scientific worldview. We need to do so. But at the same time, we have to recognize that Scripture is very clear. There is this battle, ongoing battle that's taking place. It's something that, in John, 1 John, he reminds us the reason Jesus came was to destroy the works of the devil. And we talked in the program over the last few weeks of the number of Bible verses that remind us that this is an ongoing occurrence.
Dr. Robert Bennett's our guest. It's the conclusion of our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare. Our call-in number, this break is a great time to call, 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We're giving away three copies of his book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 3rd. We're concluding our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare with Dr. Robert Bennett, administrative pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Reese, Michigan. He spent 7 years researching demon possession and spiritual warfare in the Malagasy culture of Madagascar, and he's author of the book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. A tweet from Marcia says, played with the Ouija board as a kid. Does that open us up to demonic activity?
Now, the Ouija board is something that we hear about quite a bit, to be careful, don't play with the Ouija board, and of course I would agree with that. But we also have to watch that we don't make the Ouija board an idol. Anything that we're doing to try to communicate with the dead or with the spirits, the same promise attached to that. We're seeking counsel from them, we're trying to connect to them, so anything that we're using, whether it's a Ouija board or if it's tarot cards or whatever the number of possibilities that are out there, any of those things are equally as dangerous, I would say, because at that point we're separating ourselves from God. We have a clear command from God in Leviticus and other places to not be doing these things, and we're seeking to know things that we're not given to know. There are the hidden things of God. That's the point of the occult, and we are not to be engaging in those hidden things of God.
So it's simply the same issue that you mentioned before. When you were talking about Pentecostalism, tendency to disconnect the Spirit from the Word, more broadly drawn, seeking any kind of spiritual counsel, whether it be from God or the devil, apart from God's Word, is dangerous.
Equally dangerous all the way around. And while the Ouija board gets a little bit more of the fear factor because of movies and things like that, I would say any of those methods are equally as dangerous.
But would you include in there, along with kind of that child's toy, those who claim to be mediums? We have them, oddly enough, in our 21st century postmodern American culture, not too different from the witch doctors of the animism in the Malagasy culture, is it?
No, it's really not different at all. And actually, they've kind of changed the way they describe themselves now. Now, rather than talking about their spirits, they talk about their angel guides. So the mediums are even kind of admitting that they're talking to angels now, not the good angels, of course, the evil angels. But it's a common problem, and I write about it quite a bit in the next book that will be coming out. I actually did quite a bit of research on that topic.
Do you think, to come back to Luther for a second, that we mentioned before the break, do you think that the 16th century reformer, one of his great genius strokes of genius to always firmly seek the activity of God and of the Spirit in the external Word, do you think that's related to Luther's strong view of the devil's activity in the world?
I think it is. I think Luther is very astute, and he recognizes that the devil is very wise and can lead us away to a host of various false theologies, false beliefs. And so sticking with the Word, the clear place where God has spoken to us, I think it did indeed have quite an impact on Luther.
Wendy in Forks, Washington. Dr. Bennett, as the son and grandson of spiritualist ministers, what is your view of spiritualism as a religion and as it relates to demonology and spiritual warfare?
Spiritualism is quite interesting. I was surprised to hear during my research on the recent book that they actually have a spiritual seminary in Indiana. Spiritualism is just as destructive, I would say, as any of the other lies of Satan. If you follow any of these movements, they tend to point you in directions that are contrary to the scriptures, to the truth of God. Ways of dealing and communicating with various spirits they think are good spirits, but yet the message that is given cannot fall in systematically or properly with the message that we have in Scripture. There are completely different understandings.
So how would you describe the difference between spiritualism, which seems to be kind of a Western phenomenon, and the animism that you're dealing with in the African culture?
Yeah, I think it's really the same thing. You know, Satan is wonderful at wearing a different coat but telling the same old lie. And so I think it's just trying to account for these things with a different worldview, the understanding of ghosts and spirits, rather than ancestors and mermaids and things like that that might show up in a different culture.
Can we discern part of, I mean, not that we want to spend too much time trying to figure out what the devil's doing, because as you have said many times here, that is not the point of spiritual warfare. We're not trying to outmaneuver the devil or do some sort of flanking maneuver on him. We are simply casting him out with the presence of Christ and with the name of Christ and nothing more. But can we discern the modus operandi of the devil? That he is more than happy to adapt himself completely to the beliefs of the culture in order to deceive?
Well, we understand him to be the father of lies, happy to give us any lie that would lead us in the wrong direction, away from Christ, away from the promise of Christ crucified, the resurrection. And so I think he just comes in multiple variations in whatever culture you find yourself. And so in our culture for a very long time, we haven't seen these gross possessions and things that take place so commonly maybe in other parts of the world where they're seeking to be possessed. But nevertheless, Satan is still active, I think maybe in our materialism and the idols that we create for ourselves here. Of course, we're reminded wherever there's an idol, there's a demon standing behind that trying to receive the praise that should go instead to God. So I think it's a common thing. I mentioned before I studied voodoo in Haiti, and that's the same thing I find in Madagascar. If you look at spiritualism here or the whole paranormal movement that's out there these days, it's really the same thing. And all these things, trying to discern what the spirits would have said, is really a form of necromancy, and it's condemned by Scripture, and so we need to take note of these things.
Tita in Racine, Wisconsin, asks, what is the Christian response to so-called ghost hunters who claim to capture ghosts or spirit on camera, or ghost voices on EVPs? Are these demonic manipulations or something as of yet unexplained by science?
Well, you know, that's a hard question as far as are they demonic or unexplained. At times, I would say that it would be demonic. At times, it could be just about anything, including people's imagination or wanting to hear something, for instance, an EVP that they think is there. But the same problem for the Christian exists. These people are trying to communicate, to discern, to understand. In essence, they're trying to connect themselves with the dead, because most of the time they believe these are, you know, spirits that haven't left the earth yet or something like that. And so they're falling back on that same old problem, that same old lie of Satan and those who are seeking the occult or the necromancers of the Old Testament, trying to communicate with the dead, which is, for the Christian especially, very very much condemned by Scripture.
Lisa in McDade, Texas, asks the simple question, in the Bible it speaks of people being possessed by demons, unequivocally. Does this still happen today?
I would say it absolutely does, and as part of the book, we went through and we looked at the Church Fathers, we looked at Luther, C.F.W. Walther, a number of others who talk about situations which they were dealing with. I get phone calls from pastors about every month or so that, and in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that are dealing with these situations and looking for help. So it's an ongoing thing that we see. Now maybe it's becoming more prominent now than it has in the past, because our society is turning into a more spiritualized society, seeking the hidden things of God apart from the Word of God, apart from the Church, and I think that just adds to the problem. They're seeking these things out, and these things are happy to come and provide answers.
When we come back, we're going to spend some more time with Dr. Robert Bennett. It's a conclusion of our series with him on demon possession and spiritual warfare on this Tuesday afternoon, the 3rd of June. Give us a call during this break with a question or a comment for the conclusion of our series, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or leave your question or comment at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And we're giving away three copies of Dr. Bennett's book called I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're concluding our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare with Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the book I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. And we're giving away three copies of the book to the listeners with the best questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or leave a question or a comment for Dr. Bennett at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Robert in Sundance, Wyoming asks the question, can Christians become possessed? Also, since Jesus left, did that limit what Satan and his minions can do? Two questions there. First, about Christian possession.
It appears that they can. It's hard for us to really verify that in a scriptural sense, but yet we have the voice of the church throughout the centuries. And in the book, I mention a number of places where Luther speaks of devout Christians who are dealing with this issue. C.F.W. Walther, who warns their pastors that they would be called as a part of their pastoral theology to their flock to deal with demon possession and oppression in their members. So we have a history of the church saying from faithful people that they've dealt with this amongst their congregants. However, I know it's a difficult doctrine to prove out scripturally either way.
The other question that Robert in Sundance, Wyoming asks is, has Jesus' ascension changed what kind of limit has been placed on Satan's activity?
I would say so. And we talked once before about John chapter 12, verse 31, for instance, where Jesus talks about the crucifixion being the place where Satan is cast off of his throne. The prince of this world is now exorcised. And so we have this understanding of this loss of power, this loss of ability in Jesus. And we see that practically in those who deal with this, simply speaking that name and people being comforted, spirits leaving. And so even the exorcism that I witnessed when I was in Madagascar, the demon-possessed person was really pretty pathetic. It wasn't the Hollywood, scary, powerful pictures that usually come to mind.
Another question on possession. This comes from Nathan in Williamsburg, Iowa. He has several questions, but the first is, why are there a seemingly less total number of possessions occurring today, or why do we apparently see less possessions? What are your thoughts there, Dr. Bennett?
I think we have seen less in the past, but we've just talked about all even contemporary theologians that have dealt with it. But I think we've seen less in the past in our context because of Christianity. People were involved in church, the Word. They were receiving the sacraments. They were reading their Bibles. And now we find a change where people are moving away from the church, moving to their own personal forms of spiritualism and opening themselves up. And so, as I mentioned, I get phone calls from many, many pastors in our Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod that are dealing with this problem right now. Most of the time, I think we don't hear about it because if our congregation members do not believe that we believe these things because of the way we've preached about them or talked about them, they will no way come tell us about it because they'll think we just simply think they're crazy and push them off.
Nathan also asks, is there perhaps evidence of demonic activity, a demonic basis for issues such as human sexuality, addiction, etc.?
Well, I think we would find from Paul the reminder that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. There is this eternal heavenly battle that's taking place, and as a result of that, all of these things would be related to that battle. I don't know if we can actually put our finger on and say, yes, this is an absolutely satanic thing that's taking place through an individual spirit, but we know the totality of evil in this world is something that's all related back to Satan and the fall.
To kind of wrap up that issue of demon possession, is it safe to say, according to what you have seen in your studies, that while we may notice possession or perhaps assign it some different category, medical, psychological, scientific, less, that demonic activity and possession itself is not as infrequent as maybe the latter part of the 20th century would have us believe?
Yeah, I think you've summed it up quite well.
This one comes from Lisa in Minnesota. She says, demons and angels battled in the book of Daniel. Are these battles happening around us right now?
Well, Scripture would tell us that they are. It's an ongoing battle. Satan is moving around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour us. Paul would warn us in Ephesians chapter 6 about this ongoing battle that's taking place, the spiritual forces in the heavenly place and the armor of God. And so Scripture tells us, yes, this is an ongoing battle, and we also see it playing out in places like the Church of Madagascar and many other places in the world and even in our own backyard here.
With all of that said, Dr. Bennett, it's probably a good time to remind ourselves and our listeners that this kind of, while we've talked about possession and the heightened activity, or maybe people noticing more the demonic activity, these things that were once considered maybe 50 years ago to be sheer superstition now being mainstreamed again, like mediums and attempting to contact dead spirits. The battle is in effect finished, isn't it? The battle, the spiritual battle that is going on, its conclusion is not in question, is it?
It's not at all, and that's why I pointed to John chapter 12, verse 31. I mean, it's very telling there the prince of this world is cast off that throne. He no longer has that authority. However, he's very good at convincing us that he has that authority. And that's why I would say, as we're dealing with these issues, kind of my point over and over again when I talk to pastors, it's 90% catechesis. These people need to know who they are in Christ. The lies of the evil one need to be dispelled, and then simply in the name of Jesus Christ be gone. But it's teaching, it's catechesis. The devil is wonderful at tricking us into believing things that are no longer true.
In the vein of hearing from people who have incidents like this occurring in their lives or they know of someone, David in Longmont, Colorado says, "We have a family connection who has for years complained of a poltergeist in her home, a noisy spirit. Objects are mysteriously thrown and so forth. Is this kind of thing known in Madagascar too? If so, how is it addressed?"
It is. It's a common experience. And that's a good question because it does let me clarify something. Generally, when we talk in terms of possession, we're thinking very narrowly a spirit has taken over the body of someone. The Malagasies, they don't even bother with that distinction, although they know it exists sometimes. To them, whenever Satan is causing oppression, when he's causing fear, when he's, you know, simply speaking in voices or taking over the body, the same answer is always the same answer. Exorcism without long rituals and investigation, but simply an exorcistic prayer, praying in the name of Jesus that these spirits would be taken away. And of course, our agendas and our Lutheran Church provide blessings for a home, which really that's what they are, as exorcisms. And I know numerous pastors, and so talk to your pastor who are dealing with these things, have gone and done the exorcism of the home. I've done many myself, and these things just seem to disappear.
So is the picture here of, I'm trying to think, kind of the natural state of affairs in the world around us, the devil still attempts to exercise his authority wherever he can. His power truly does abhor the vacuum. He will fill in wherever God's spirit is left absent.
I think that's exactly the point, and all the more so that we should be constantly attached to Jesus through his word, through his sacraments, and our life in the church, and our devotional life. I mean, where the word of God is, Satan must flee.
Does that mean people ought to be scared for themselves, their families, their homes? Uh-oh, maybe we have, you know, if there's a loud noise in my house, Dr. Bennett, it's generally the cats knocking something over. And almost every single time, that's the most reasonable explanation. Does that mean people need to be worried about demonic activity in their home?
You know, the point of the book, of course, is I am not afraid. As a Christian, we do not need to be fearful or worried about any of these things. Satan is a defeated foe. All he can do is lie. All he can do is pretend, mislead. And so I've never been nervous going into these situations. I deal with them a lot. I know a lot of other pastors that do as well. There's no need for us to fear. Christ has defeated sin, death, and devil. And Satan's pretty good at getting us to disbelieve that and worry about these things. But a Christian should have no worry. We are children of God. We have the name of God upon our forehead and that promise that we've died with Christ and we shall rise with Christ. What else is there to worry about?
Dr. Robert Bennett's our guest. We're concluding our series with him on demon possession and spiritual warfare. And when we come back, 10 more minutes with him, taking your questions and your comments and giving away three copies of his book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or facebook.com/issuesetc. We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
by definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues, etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Ten minutes left for your questions and your comments on demon possession and spiritual warfare with Dr. Robert Bennett on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 3rd, and it's your opportunity to win one of three copies of his book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, if you'd like to read another interesting account, this is from, well, regular guest Bob Leko, his days in, well, I guess we could say a branch or a sect of Christianity that was at times obsessed with demonic activity, not really cognizant of the fact that Jesus has already won the victory. It was the Word Faith movement and all the errors that attend to that that he spent several decades in, along with his wife Tracy, and their circuitous but very fortuitous route to confessional Lutheranism. It's in the Wittenberg Trail feature of the latest Issues, Etc. journal. It's available online, absolutely free. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Look for that big red button on the right-hand column. Click on it, and when you enter your email address, you will receive the latest Issues, Etc. journal, absolutely free. I have an article in there as well about New Thing theology. You can find out more about that. You can also read back issues of the Issues, Etc. journal on the publications page at issuesetc.org. Marla in Massachusetts has this question. There are many, many celebrity pastors out there who claim to be anointed and claim that they can raise people from the dead. Are they demon-possessed? Dr. Bennett.
Well, I imagine some could be, but I would expect a lot of times they're just out there continuing the farce that we see in Christianity and many of these denominations. Whenever anyone is pointing to themselves with a particular power or ability they have that's innate within themselves and not pointing to Jesus and his power and his presence, it's demonic in the sense that it's the lie. Are they physically possessed? We would have no way of knowing that.
Another question. This one comes from Johnny, and I think it's an excellent question. He wants to know, have there been any particular roadblocks or hardships, etc., that have presented themselves to you when you began to speak of these issues of demon possession and spiritual warfare in the American church, in the American context?
You know, surprisingly not. I was very surprised at that. I received a number of warnings from people who were afraid, who were nervous, and when they found out I was researching this subject, warned me to be cautious, that many attacks would be coming my way. And even with the writing of this book, I expected a number of difficulties, people coming and attacking me on the issue, and really haven't seen that. And I think maybe the difference might be this. Many people who study this topic, they fall into the same pit as those who are out doing the paranormal investigation and the ghost hunters and things like that, where they try to engage with these spirits on their own rather than simply speaking in the name of Jesus, go do an exorcism of a home, for instance. We just speak in the name of Jesus. We read scriptures. We teach the inhabitants of who they are in Christ. And so I think maybe many of the times others have problems is they're trying to engage with the spirits and with Satan, which I think is always going to bring you problems.
Herman listens in Illinois. Herman, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. Yes, Pastor Bennett. How would you go about handling those who claim that they're seeing human apparitions appear, either people they don't know or who are deceased relatives? How would you evaluate and recommend dealing with that?
Thank you very much, Herman.
Herman, I think we have to look at it in a couple different ways. People do have hallucinations. We don't want to discount that. People see things that aren't there. And yet we also don't want to discount that Satan is very crafty, and Luther writes about it in his time, how people would see their deceased relatives come and request a mass to be provided for them to help them in purgatory, which the Roman Catholics believed. We see the same thing in Martin Chemnitz speaking about that, and then in the church in Madagascar, people talk about their relatives coming and requiring the reburial practices. So these things are very common, and I would say these are satanic things trying to lead people astray, trying to get their trust away. And sometimes we can't discount that there's hallucinations that take place as a result of medications and drugs and mental illness. So you can't really put your finger on it in a real succinct way. You just have to be open to the fact that it could be multiple things.
James would like you to address the difference between being demon-possessed and simply living according to the old man. We are called to drown the old Adam through daily discipline, he writes, of confession and absolution. When is there a need to be exercised of demon possession? Is it a matter of outward extreme expression being extremely tormented or troubled? Let's talk about the distinction between people who've just kind of given up over to the old man and no longer struggle against the old man and demon possession.
Right, and that's why I made the distinction when we talk about demon possession. Not always somebody that actually is being controlled physically by a demon, but the old man provides a wonderful play toy for Satan, and it doesn't take much to encourage the old man, because the old man's willing and ready to engage in sometimes the most horrific things, and so we shouldn't discount the fact that sometimes Satan and the demons provoke that old man to action, but yet we also have to recognize that even without any of that provoking, man is capable of doing the most horrific things under the proper circumstances given to him. So we have to uphold both. Any of us, as a result of our old Adam, our old man, can do all of these horrible things you see in societies. When you turn your news and you see some horrific thing that happened, you can't just say, well, that's demon possession, because it does take the onus off the individual. But we do know that Satan is out there and seeking to mislead us. And so I think you can see both things taking place.
Why is it dangerous for the Christian church to avoid preaching and teaching about the devil and demonic activity? About a minute.
Why? Can you repeat it real quick?
Why is it dangerous for the church to avoid preaching and teaching about these kind of things?
Because as a church avoids these things, the whole scriptures then don't fit together anymore. We go back to, for instance, 1 John. The reason Jesus came was to defeat the works of the devil. We have to recognize that these are real stories. We're in a real battle to this very day, and to not recognize these things is really to leave ourselves open to attack and to false theology and all those that come with that.
And finally, how do we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the devil, our opponent, is in fact a defeated foe, and that we can live every day without fear, secure in Christ himself?
Well, we have a host of scriptures that remind us of these things, and my point in the book, and I keep coming back to it, is this understanding of the crucifixion at the crucifixion, the prince of this world is cast off of his throne, meaning he's cast off that place of power that he once possessed, and Christ has defeated sin, death, and devil. Jesus is very clear. We don't need to worry about the one who can kill the body, but the one who can kill the body and the soul. So our direction should be towards God and Jesus, not against the weak foe who's simply trying to lead us astray.
Dr. Robert Bennett is administrative pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Reese, Michigan. He spent 7 years researching demon possession and spiritual warfare in the Malagasy culture, and he's authored the book, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. This is a great book, not only recounting the research, the fruit of the research that was done there in the Malagasy culture by Dr. Robert Bennett, but also good, basic, biblical, and Lutheran teaching on spiritual warfare and demon possession. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House and order I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Bennett, thanks for being our guest.
Wonderful to be here, Todd. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Johnny, Marcia, and Andrew, you three win a copy of I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. So if you would send us your mailing address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We will send you the book, I Am Not Afraid. And thanks to everybody for their questions and their comments for Dr. Bennett all through the course of our series with him on demon possession and spiritual warfare. When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc., we'll kick it off reviewing the latest, the 12th, episode of the TV series Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. Dr. Danny Faulkner will be our guest. This last episode had a lot to do with global warming, and that's a subject that has come up again and again and again in the Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey series. Why does that seem to be one of the overriding issues that the producers of that show want to focus on? Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute will join us after that to talk about same-sex marriage in Illinois. And then we'll review a sermon preached by Pastor Peter Bender, a regular guest here, on Jesus' High Priestly Prayer. Hour two of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Misquoted Bible passages, Christian hymnody, confessional Lutheranism, Christianity and culture. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.